Welcome to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, a show where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. Your host is Dr. Anton Raimondo, who will be your spiritual fitness doctor, giving you practical spiritual insights and solutions from Scripture, church teachings, and saint stories to soothe your soul. And now, here is Dr. Anton Raimondo.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimondo here on In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns. And you are listening on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And with that, you know, when we pray the Our Father prayer, why did Jesus tell us to help us learn the Our Father when he already knows our thoughts, our minds, and what we're about to say or what we're going to do? Why in the world do we still have to pray? Why doesn't he just read our mind and just do what we want or what we wish? You ever think about that? Like, is really prayer futile? Like, how about when you ask for different prayer requests and they don't come true? Have you ever wondered, how come he doesn't answer me the way I asked him? I have a valid need, like I'm hurting, or my marriage is in trouble, or I don't have a job, or we're in poverty, or you know, I have cancer, or this person's dying, or they could be dying. How come these prayers aren't answered? Many times we ask these really serious questions, profound questions, but at the same time, why do we have to pray then if he already knows our minds? And then when we do pray, how come it seems like our prayers aren't answered? Well, not that I have the answers to all this, but I will be giving insight into possibly why our prayers seemingly aren't answered and what we could do about it. Also, I want to talk about in this program, you know, today's a special feast day called the Transfiguration. And I want to give the example of that as a possible proof that there is such a thing as purgatory, that us Catholics didn't make it up, that it's actually biblical. So if you're interested in this, or you want to make a comment, or just to call in and tell us that you're listening to the show, or where you're listening from, please call in. The number is 856-962-8178. The number is 856-962-8178. And our Michael at the studio, our engineer, is going to be able to connect us so we can talk, or just at least say hello. And while I'm mentioning Michael's name, I just want to thank Michael for all the hard work that he's been doing on WTMR 800 AM. And also, of course, the engineers and the people that work there at In His Sign Catholic Radio, and Martha and Tara for their great programming, and all the other broadcasters. With that said, I wanted to give a shout out to Mike Altshuler. You know, he and I co-host on First Fridays, which would be tomorrow. But yesterday, August 5th, if my memory serves right, was his birthday. So, Mike, if you're listening, or any other of the fans there of Mike Altshuler on our First Friday show, it was his birthday yesterday. And also, there's a good friend of mine named Monica. She and I worked together with Monsignor Chifo when he was pastor of St. Mary Magdalene. So she's listening, or any friends of Monica. Her birthday was yesterday. Say hello to her. Wish her a belated birthday. As far as today, I wanted to say hello and happy birthday to my Carmelite friend. She used to be the president of our Carmelite, the lay Carmelites here in the Delaware County, Chester County, and her name is Dorothy. So, Dorothy, if you're listening, or any friends of Dorothy, or any Carmelites out there, wish Dorothy a happy birthday. All right. So, let's before we get on with the rest of the program, let's start off like we usually do by praying the Our Father prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Well, usually what I like to do is to talk about the upcoming readings for the coming Sunday, which is the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and or I would talk about, you know, Saints of the Day or Feast Day like today's the Transfiguration. And I will talk about the Transfiguration as a possible way of understanding how we Catholics believe in purgatory. But before I get into that, I wanted to continue from last week. I ended the program last week by talking about how why sometimes our prayers aren't answered the way we want it to be answered. And I gave some biblical proofs or some biblical scripture verses that would help you think, well, maybe that's why the prayer wasn't answered the way we had hoped. But with that said, you know, the big question is, well, why should we pray in the first place? Isn't God almighty? Isn't he omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing? If he already knows the past, present, and future, he can read our minds, he can read our hearts, he knows what we're going to do and say before we even say it, he knows the thoughts of our head, even the hairs on our head. Why in the world do we have to pray? Well, not that I have the once and for all answer to it. It's, the thing is, he does definitely know what we're going to say. He definitely knows our intentions. He knows our hidden agenda or the real reason why we are asking what we're asking. But nevertheless, even so, we have free will. We have this God-given ability to decide to talk to him or not talk to him, to tell him the truth or not tell him the truth, to reveal our innermost intentions of our heart's desires, or to hide that from him. But the thing is, because he gave us free will, we have the ability to do what we want to, but we really should do what we ought to. There's a difference. He doesn't want to make us like a robot, an automaton that we're programmed to always, to follow him without reason. Like an AI or a, that's not even a good example, actually. You know, just like a clock, you set the alarm clock that it's going to ring when you set it to ring, or to turn off when you set it to turn off, or to put snooze when you put it to snooze. Or if you get in a car, you want to start the car, you know, hopefully if everything's working, it'll work. But my point is that we are not machines, right? We are a hybrid. We're flesh and blood, but we have a soul, a spirit that will live forever. And so with that gift, we're allowed to say to God that we will serve him or not serve him. And so remember, the devil became the devil because he did not want to serve. There's that famous Latin phrase, non serviam, that he will not serve. But there's that great quote from Joshua, said that he said something of the sort where, as far as me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So I hope you and your household will serve the Lord. Now, going back to why should we pray after all, if God already knows what we're going to say or not to say, what's in our heart, what's in our minds, what's our intention, it's because he's giving us the opportunity, in my opinion. He's giving us the opportunity to show faith and to exercise one's faith, okay? So in other words, if you really believe God will listen to your petition and can really heal you or help you and answer your prayer, he wants to see if you believe in that, okay? And so he wants you to be able to prove that by saying it out loud, or you can just say it telepathically. You can say it in your mind. God can hear you, even though if you're mute, or you said there was like throat cancer and in your voice box you're not able to speak, or there's something, you have oral cancer and you can't speak because your tongue has cancer, or they had to take that out, or you can't physically phonate, you can't physically verbalize and speak, but you could say things in your mind telepathically, and God hears you. In fact, that's how angels speak to each other. They speak telepathically. They don't need words. They think it, and it's transmitted, just like when we talk here when I'm speaking on the radio, right? Or you speak on your cell phone. You speak on a CB radio or a ham radio. It's transmitted. But this is different. You know, when we do so, it's through the different waves in the air or in the atmosphere, whereas when spirits communicate, like we in our soul, we have a spirit. When we communicate with angels who are spirits, or God who is a spirit, when we communicate, you know, that's on a different level. And so we can speak to them telepathically. And God wants to know what we think, even though he knows it ahead of time, but he wants us to prove it. Do you believe he loves you? Then pray. Do you have faith that he can help you with your health? He can help you with looking for a job. He can help you with your pain, with your suffering, with your marriage, with whatever addictions you have, or whatever problems or relationships you have, or maybe you're looking for to repair a relationship. He can help, but do you have the faith enough to ask him? Because he does give this promise in Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 7, and I love that number. It's very easy, 7:7. So Matthew 7:7, where he says, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you." And some of you loyal listeners will know that's one of my favorite quotes. But if you hear those words, ask, seek, and knock, if you take the first letters of those words, it actually spells ask. So ask and you shall receive, that starts with an A, ask. Seek and you'll find, that's the letter S, so we have an A and an S. And then knock. It doesn't start with the letter N, okay? It starts with the letter K. So A-S-K. So knock and you shall, the door shall be opened to you. So therefore, ask, A-S-K. Ask, seek, and knock. Matthew chapter 7:7. And it's guaranteed. That's the thing. But then you say, Dr. Anton, you say it's guaranteed. I prayed for this. I prayed for that. It didn't happen. I didn't get what we want. Well, remember, we're not little kids, all right? It's different when we as kids may stammer and have a tantrum and cry as a 3-, 4-, 5-year-old that we didn't get, you know, the gift for our birthday or for Christmas, or we wanted this candy and we didn't get it, or after Mass we wanted a donut, we didn't get the donut, and we're going to throw a tantrum. We're not physical children anymore. I mean, if you are one of the kids out there, wow, you really rock my world right now. If one of the kids are listening, and you moms are letting your kids listen, I would be amazed about that. But I'm just thankful that somebody's listening out there. And by the way, if you want to call, that number is 856-962-8178. Okay, that's the studio. Hopefully, if you call, then Mike will help connect us. It's 856-962-8178. And so we're not kids, but we actually might be spiritually like a child. In other words, we really haven't spiritually grown up. We have these immature beliefs that whatever we ask, we will get. And then you might say, well, Dr. Anton, you just said Matthew 7:7, it's guaranteed. Yes, I did. But my point is, there's conditions. There's conditions to this. Just like the Our Father prayer, it's conditional. The most perfect prayer, of course, is the Our Father prayer, also called the Lord's Prayer. And it's conditional. And this is the part that many people, you know, skip over. They forget that it's conditional, that they don't look at the verses that comes right after the Our Father, that Jesus himself underscores the fact that if you don't forgive others, then your sins will not be forgiven as well. So let me show that. I mean, let me share that. And that's Matthew 6:14, if I'm not mistaken. All right, so there it is. So Matthew 6:14. And so he just teaches the Our Father prayer. And remember, this is when, before I get into that condition, recall in Matthew 6 that the apostles ask Jesus to teach them to pray. And so the Lord's Prayer starts on verse 9, and he actually says in verse 8, he says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And see, this is what led me to start off this program and saying, well, wait a second, Dr. Anton, why do we have to pray if even Jesus says your Father knows what you need before you ask him? So then why do we have to physically ask him then? That's the point. And notice Jesus didn't stop and say, hey, because the Father knows you your needs before you ask him, don't even bother to pray. In fact, I don't even have to teach you to pray because he already knows what you need. No, he actually goes on and he teaches them, all right? And so when he teaches the Our Father's prayer, the Our Father prayer goes from verse 9 to 13. When he ends, it's the next two verses that I want you to make sure you know it's conditional. Because it says in verse 14, if, so that's the conditional word, if you forgive others their transgressions, your Father, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. So in the Our Father, we do say the words, you know, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But we may not realize that when we pray. What does it mean, as we forgive? Well, Jesus underscores this by saying it even clearer, that it's a condition. If you forgive others their sins, if you forgive others their transgressions, then, you know, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. I added the word then. I mean, but again, you know, like for all you people who are literate with computer programming, it's an if-then statement, or any math lovers out there. I got a scholarship in math, so I like this kind of stuff. But anyway, this is a condition. If you forgive others their transgression, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgression. So here's the point. Jesus said, God the Father knows what you need before you ask him. But here, this is how you should pray, despite knowing God knows what you're going to say. Jesus is not going to tell you to do something that's futile, okay? But he wants to see if you love him, have faith in him, if you have hope in him, and that you're going to use your spiritual muscles to grow up. And one of the reasons I will propose as to what a reason why prayers aren't answered is, well, one, first of all, God did hear you, whether you're in mortal sin or not. He just doesn't have to answer you if you're in mortal sin. And this is why I'm underscoring the verse 14 and verse 15 of that condition. The most perfect prayer is a conditional prayer. It's not like if you have this, if you pray this, you will get it. It's a condition. And that's my point with the prayers. When you pray, you may wonder, how come I didn't get it? Dr. Anton, you said ask, seek, and knock, and it's guaranteed. Yes, but there's what's the missing piece? The missing piece is there's a condition. Have you forgiven others truly? I mean, like, forgive and forget, okay? Because if Jesus says, if you don't forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you your transgressions. So God hears your prayer, whether you're in sin, deep sin, or you're not in deep sin, you're in grace. But he chooses to say no for many reasons. And one particular reason is that he doesn't will it for you. Even if it's a good thing. Even if it's a good thing like saying, I need a job now, and allows you to be unemployed for months to a year to 2 years, 3 years or more. He allows that because he knows what's best for you and wants to teach you something and somehow draw you closer to him. The other thing is that it's not like he didn't hear you. He always hears his children. It's just that he doesn't have to do what you say, especially when you're not in good graces. Of course he can if he wants to. He has the prerogative. I mean, haven't we as parents, when our own children let us down or did something wrong, don't we as get soft-hearted and still relent, somehow give in, somehow have some mercy, some pity, and give them a break? Well, the Lord is a better parent than we are, so he's going to give us a break even though we have sinned, right? And so these are the things where, look, I'll give you the quick example. Look at St. Paul. St. Paul, he was on the road to Damascus, and he's ready to go round up some more Catholics, okay, Catholic Christians, so they can be, extricated and killed. So he already had done this, and now he's going to get some more. But yet the Lord appears to him, right? And it changed St. Paul's life, and that he would get healed later on from his blindness of his eyes. But he was also punished, wasn't he, right, with the blindness there in his eyes. And then later on he was healed. So this is the thing. We have to make sure that we have to forgive others from when they transgress against us, but we should also go to others and ask forgiveness too. Then you increase your chances, so to speak, of being in better graces with God, right? I mean, it makes sense. If you want something, not that you butter somebody up, like your parents or a teacher or whatever, you're trying to get a scholarship or you're trying to get a grant or a loan for whatever, a car, a house. Of course, you're going to put your best foot forward. Well, the same thing when you're going to ask the Lord, you want to put your best foot forward. You don't try to, threaten the Lord. You're like, who are we? We are just mere creatures. He's the creator. And so my point is that when God allows us to pray, it's because he wants us to prove ourselves. So here's another quick example. Do you remember the road to Emmaus where the two disciples are walking away from Jerusalem towards the town of Emmaus, and they're kind of down, they're downtrodden because they thought Jesus was the Messiah in their mind to be like a political king. Anyway, one of these people was named Cleopas, and the other one was known, was said to be in private revelation, it didn't say in scripture, the other person was supposedly St. Luke, okay? Anyway, when Jesus caught up with them, or Jesus already knows what they're talking about, but he asked them, what are you talking about, right? Something of that sort. And then Cleopas kind of says, dumbfounded, like, what? Like, are you the only person not knowing what happened in Jerusalem here? I don't know if he had that kind of attitude, like I just kind of put in here on the radio. But my point was, Jesus, of course, knows what happened in Jerusalem. It was him that got crucified. But Jesus wasn't lying either, right? He asked a fair question to them to give them a chance to express their thoughts and their feelings. So he's not lying. He's not putting on air. He's not being deceptive. He's giving these two to explain what their current thoughts are and to express it. Because it's one thing to think it. It's another thing to say it. And it's even another thing to write it down. Remember, now Luke later on writes the gospel, and then he writes the Acts of the Apostles. So writing is on a very higher level because it takes more effort to think it through, fix it, edit it, write, rewrite, and so forth. So here they're just trying to express themselves in speaking. So in the same way, when we pray, the Lord tells us the way to perfectly pray. He gives us the framework, okay, but he gives the conditions. So if you're going to pray this perfect prayer, make sure you forgive others, and your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, then you won't be forgiven. And then now you just ruined your chances, so to speak. You see where I'm driving at? Like, you want to increase your chances, well, then do what the Lord is saying here in the Our Father. And this is part of the big reason why the name of my program here, right, is Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are delivered through the Our Father prayer, right? So the last part of the Our Father prayer is deliver us from the evil one, or in other translations, deliver us from from evil, okay? So it's either one of those. In fact, the one that I'm reading from right now is from the New American Bible, the Revised Edition, as from the evil one. So that's what some of the reasons why. And so let me give you some more biblical reasons here, and I'm going to use the scripture verses like I did from last week, where it came from the Revised Standard Version, the Catholic edition, okay? And so that it's not that, you know, if your prayers weren't answered, it may not be because you don't have enough faith, because that's one possibility, but brothers and sisters, just because it wasn't answered, don't take it to mean automatically, oh, I don't have enough faith. No, you very well might have had enough faith. Remember, Jesus tells us that even if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, I mean, you ever look at a banana, right? You take a bite of banana, and you see that little black seed there, that tiny little black speck in the banana. I think a mustard seed is somewhere around that size or smaller. I'm not exactly sure. But even if you have the size of that, you can say to this mountain, be thrown into the sea, and it can be done. So the key thing is you probably do have the faith, but it's just one thing is it's not God's will. And at that time, at that point, okay, so he may be saying yes, but not yet, okay, that you have the faith, but he's saying yes. But to you, and you're saying, well, nothing happened. Well, you know, you say yes, but just wait. He wants to see if you're going to be patient. He wants to see if you're going to have the faith and believe that he will come through. All right? Now, I have a bunch more scripture verses to share. I notice I'm at the bottom of the hour now, so I want to take a short break, and then we'll be right back. But I also want to make sure that you have also a chance to call in. I would really love to hear from somebody if somebody would try to call in. So here's the number. It's 856-962-8178. Again, 856-962-8178. So let's take a break, and then we'll be right back here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered with Dr. Anton.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
All right, welcome back everybody again. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. We are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And again, you're listening on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And we've been talking about prayer, like, why should we pray if God knows what we're going to think and what we're going to say and what we're going to do before we all do think or say it? And what's the condition in the Our Father? And why aren't our prayers answered? So let's continue on that, and then I'll get to the point about how the transfiguration of Jesus is actually a way of understanding the real biblical proof of purgatory, that we Catholics didn't make that up. All right, so let's go back to some of the reasons why our prayers aren't answered and what we can do about it. So one thing that I just want to make clear is that you have to ask, right? So like I gave you that verse, Matthew 7:7, ask, ask, seek, and knock. Ask and you shall receive. S, seek and you shall find. K, knock and the door shall be open to you. So in James chapter 4, verse 2, it also says there to underscore that you have to ask. It says, you desire and you do not have, so you kill. And you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. And so we can think about this in a global way, right? We could say, you know, look at the wars that are happening, right? And so that people are coveting and they can't get, so they're fighting and waging war, whether that's oil, whether that's land, whether that's riches, you know, what have you. They covet, they can't obtain, they fight and wage war, okay? And others, they desire something. So let's say you may hear something on the news that a guy is desiring some person's wife, so he kills the other guy, you know? So he desires and he does not have that woman, so he tries to kill that guy so he could get that woman. I mean, all these crazy scenarios right there. But the point is here, what James is saying you do not have because you do not ask. He's not saying to ask God to have this riches and land and, let's say, to have somebody else's spouse by doing evil. Of course not, right? Because that's the other condition here, that when you're asking, are you asking for something that's hypocritical, and is it something that actually is not God's will, and that's asking that's really the wrong motive? It's an ungodly prayer. Okay, so James, in the next sentence, James chapter 4, verse 3, so I gave you the verse 2, it says, you ask and you do not receive. Why? I added that part. Why? Because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So you may have a passion for gambling. You may have a passion for, like, lust and sexual promiscuity, okay? And so you may want to, let's say, get rich quick through going to a casino, or you want to drown your sorrows with whatever liquor or wine or beer or drugs or entertainment. And so you ask, like, you hit it big on the lottery. Well, I mean, of course, who wouldn't want, you know, better finances or have a windfall? But the thing is, what if God allowed that? He knows already what your thoughts are, what you're going to do even if you want it, right? Are you going to spend it on your passions? Are you going to spend it for the wrong reasons? Are you going to spend it so you can have a fling with somebody? Are you going to spend it so you can get drunk or take drugs or to go out and be materialistic and go on a worldwide tour, vacation, and not even care about your own family, your own health, your own job? And some of you say, well, I won't have a job then. I'll be so filthy rich, Dr. Anton. I don't care. I'd be retired. Well, yeah, well, God will also know that too. So this is the thing, is, well, why would he give it to you if you had the wrong motives? And we get this hubris, this anger, this arrogance, that once we get famous, we get fortune, we get rich, we get healthy, well, what are we going to do about it? In Proverbs 21, it says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Let me read that again. Proverbs chapter 21, okay? Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So whatever we think we're always right. Well, whatever anybody else says, that they're wrong. So if you like going on social media, you like commenting, and you like, you know, trolling on somebody, you like commenting, putting someone down for whatever they said, you know, we always think we're right in our own eyes. But it's the Lord who is the just judge. He's the one that reads hearts. He's the one that reads intentions. And it says here, the Lord weighs the heart. So we may come and say to the Lord, Lord, I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking. I forgave people, you know, and they forgave me. And I think I'm right in my own eyes that I need this and I need that. And it might be correct. Okay, look at Joseph. Now, I'm not saying Joseph sinned. Joseph was going to divorce the blessed mother. But remember, he was a just man. And a just man would not think the worst of the blessed mother. A just man would not think that the blessed mother committed adultery. Then he would be an unjust man. You see, it says in Scripture, Joseph, a just man, a Joseph, comma, a righteous man, you see, then he talks about the blessed mother. But he made the wrong decision, thinking that how can he be the spouse of the blessed mother when he understood this now, that how could this be? Because the blessed mother would never do this, so he didn't understand it, but later it was revealed to him that it was through the Holy Spirit, and he discovered that the Holy Spirit is the true spouse, and he was going to bow out. So even Joseph had to be corrected. No, Joseph, you can't divorce her, because then other people will think she committed wrong, but you know, you're a just man, you know, Joseph, he didn't, she didn't do anything wrong, you know Joseph because you're a just man, that she didn't commit adultery. But everybody else will. So, Joseph, don't divorce her. We need you to stay and be the foster father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that we've all been waiting for. And so he had to be corrected through the angel, and he followed. So even he had this intention, but he had it wrong. He was wrong. He thought he was right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighed the heart, and he sent the angel to send it right. And Joseph had a good heart. He just came up with the wrong decision, just like he was thinking after they fled Egypt and he was returning back to the Holy Land. They thought, oh, let me go back to the city of David, to Bethlehem. No, but he had to get redirected through an angel GPS. The angel had to tell him, no, Joseph, don't go to Bethlehem. You have to go to Nazareth. Okay, so he did. So this is my point. You have to have the right motives, and you can't have this ungodly prayer. It would be ungodly to say, oh, I wish that guy goes to hell. No, we always want everybody to be saved. I'm not talking about Joseph. I'm saying anybody. We don't want anybody to go to hell. No way. We always wish, even especially our own enemies, that they convert and go and get saved by God. That would prove to God that you are also loving and merciful, because then God will also be loving and merciful to you. So here's the other thing. Well, why isn't your prayers answered? Maybe you want to forgive others, but you just haven't confessed it. That's what you need to do. You need to confess your sin, and you need to not only confess it, but stop. Stop rebelling. Stop complaining. We have all these complaints. I was watching this YouTube clip about a famous artist that he wanted his painting to be critiqued. So he brought it to a gallery, and he told everybody, he said, for his painting, that to put an X wherever they see a mistake or a problem. And so he left it in the gallery, and people came by and then looked at it and made or didn't make a mark. He came back the next day, and to his dismay, the painting had marks all over his painting, the original. He goes back to a fellow painter, somebody that's better than him, and he said, there's nothing wrong with your painting. He said, go repaint that same painting with the exact same brush strokes and go back and set it there. And then, but this time, instead of telling people or asking them to put a mark, like an X on wherever it is, ask them instead. Say you leave paint and paintbrushes there. Ask them instead paint over that spot and make it better. They themselves paint over and make it better. He goes away, comes back the next day, and lo and behold, nothing was changed. Nothing. It's the same painting. The day before, there were so many marks that just marred the whole painting. This time, it was just a redo on the painting, and nobody made any changes, physical changes. So the point of this matter is, that people are very quick to complain, very quick to point out people's fault, but they are very slow to actually make an improvement, to actually show the better way. And that's why I'm here to help show the better way. And the way is the way, the truth, and the life, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the master painter. He is our master. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He's the one that wants to free us from our own selfishness, where we always think we are right, but the Lord will weigh things from our heart. He is the one that will guarantee that what you ask, what you seek, what you knock, he will give. But remember, if you don't forgive, then you're not going to be forgiven either. So please confess your sins. Stop rebelling against him. Admit you're wrong. Get right with your family. Get right with your children. Get right with your spouse. Help the needy. So if you see a poor person, if you can't give them money because you might be scared that, oh, well, he's going to, he or she's going to spend on drugs, they may or they may not, but who are we to judge? Can we read their heart? Well, they smell like it, Dr. Anson. They look like a, maybe so. But maybe St. Francis saw a poor person and realized that it was Jesus, and that changed his life. Okay? So here's the other thing is that sometimes when the Lord says no, it's because he wants to protect you from any danger that if you got that done, if he did give you the money, he did give you that particular job, he did give you that particular spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend, or that car, or whatever you needed. He's protecting you from what's going to draw you away from him. So if you want to be helped, well, then why won't you help the needy also? When you see somebody poor, you won't give that person money. Well, why not just say, give them a smile or say hello? That doesn't cost anything. Maybe if you have a banana with you or a soda, maybe you can give that. If you have a prayer card, give them a prayer card. Or just say hello or just a smile with your eyes, if at all. It's something that shows some sort of love of that person. The other thing is, if we're so full of pride, that's another reason why our prayers may not be answered. And it says in James, same chapter 4, verse 6, he says, he gives more grace, but he also says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if we're too proud to say hello to somebody, well, why in the world are we going to have the nerve then to talk to Jesus, but we won't even talk to our neighbor who's in need? So we can't be a hypocrite. Like, you may see somebody in need on the street. Like, for instance, when I'm driving, I'd have these prayer cards or some snacks in my car, and I'm at a stop and somebody's holding a sign. Invariably, I'll do something of what I just said. I'll give them a prayer card, give them a piece of fruit, a banana, a chocolate bar, some protein bar, a prayer, hello, even some change, something, okay? And so this is what we need to do as far as, increasing our chances, why, so the Lord can really answer the prayer that we're asking for, provided it's something that God wills and that will help in our own sanctification. In other words, that will help us get closer to him, all right? And so now the other thing is we just also have to be patient. He will answer. He does answer, and he says, it may just be yes, but just wait. Or he may say no, just outright no. And so this is where we need to correct ourselves, where we need correcting, okay? All right, so now let me go to the other part here with the time remaining about how we Catholics didn't make up the belief in purgatory, and it's biblical, and there's the Jews believe that in the Old Testament as well. They didn't call it purgatory, but there was... they knew that prayers for the dead really had effect, okay? And they wouldn't do so if it wasn't, just like why Jesus tells us to pray, even though he knows what we're going to say before we say it. So regarding the transfiguration, if you remember, that transfiguration is when Jesus went up a mountain called Mount Tabor, and he brought the inner circle of apostles. There are three of them, right? Peter, James, and John. And so this is for today's reading. And when he was up there, Moses and Elijah appeared talking to Jesus. And we can believe this testimony because, according to Jewish law, that if you have two or three witnesses, then that's proof. And so there was witnesses of Peter, James, and John that they saw Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah. In fact, Peter recognized Moses and Elijah, even though this is the first time they saw him. They never met face-to-face, of course, before, right? So Moses died, I mean, somewhere like in 1592, some people would date it even at 1240. So the dates can differ, okay? So whether he died close to 1600 years before Jesus or 1400 years before Jesus or 1200 years before Jesus, I'm just rounding off, okay? That there's no way that Peter met him, but Peter recognized he was Moses. I don't know if it's because he was holding the Ten Commandments or what have you, but they recognized, I mean, that's Moses, all right? And Moses died, and so yet, here was Moses alive. And Jesus does say somewhere in Scripture that Jesus, God, is the God of the living, not the dead. So the Jews would think that Moses died on Mount Tabor, and he did, but that he's not alive anymore, that he is like, you know, some of them think that's it. They're obliterated. Some may think that. But here's the proof that Moses' physical body is dead. It's buried on Mount Tabor. He was 120, not Mount Tabor, but Mount Nebo. And his body was 120 years old when he died. But yet here he is, appears with Jesus, talking to Jesus, and Elijah's there as well. So the question is, which goes into the point of purgatory, or a third place besides heaven or hell. We would never think Moses went to hell. He was a just man, right? He made the mistake of hitting the rock twice, and he was then exiled from going into the promised land as part of the punishment. But he led them out of slavery, the Hebrews out of slavery. But here he is alive. So how's that if his body is in a grave on Mount Nebo? He didn't go to hell. The gates of heaven have not yet been opened because Jesus did not rise from the dead on Easter Sunday. This is way before Easter Sunday. So where is Moses at the very least? Okay? Where is Moses? He must be in the third place because it's not heaven proper. He's definitely not in hell. So this leads to the part about the existence of limbo, called Limbo of the Fathers, or this place where the abode of the fathers, like we hear Jesus talking about this, Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham. So there's this other place that they're waiting to be freed. And Jesus does go, and when he dies on Good Friday, to visit those dead so he can proclaim the good news to them so they can also enter into heaven on Easter Sunday. So this is the whole point of what I'm saying, is that Moses is alive, even, and his spirit lives on forever. But where is that spirit, even though his body is buried and in probably dust, if he wasn't incorrupt? You know, where is it?
Doctor,
so
Anton?
Again,
Doctor? Yes, Michael. You do have a call on the line for you.
Awesome, great. Well, who is it is on the line there? Who are we speaking to?
Hi, Dr. Raimondo.
Hi.
My name is Lauren.
Hi, Lauren.
And I was calling with a question about the sign sealed and delivered. The sign is the I wanted to know what that meant again.
Oh, sure.
To be signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yes. When we get that from Jesus, when he ascends into heaven, we're signed by the sign of the cross, when we say, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when we physically put our hands on our forehead, on our chest, and to our heart, and then the left shoulder, right shoulder, we are signing ourselves with the cross that Jesus gave us when he ascended into heaven, and which was the sign that the apostles and the early church used, and that we continue to use today. That's how we're signed with the cross, with the cross of Christ, yes.
And then we're delivered through...
Yes, and so the other part is we're signed and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, because in baptism we receive the Holy Spirit and we're sealed when we get
baptism
and confirmation. So that's where the Holy Spirit, we're sealed. We are official Catholic Christians. Everybody who is baptized has the Holy Spirit, and that's the entryway into the Catholic Church. But you're
I'm in the middle of a conversion. That's why I'm asking. I'm trying to convert to Catholicism.
Oh, awesome! Well, fantastic. Well, baptism is the gateway to Catholicism.
I've been baptized once through the Episcopal Church.
Fantastic. And then to be confirmed is that
you can only be baptized once, correct?
Amen. Yes, as long as it's the right way, in the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, with the water, not with soda.
Correct.
With,
yeah, I was baptized as a baby, an infant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, these are great questions, and the delivered part is in the Our Father prayer. The last part of the Our Father, it says, "Deliver us from the evil one," or "Deliver us from evil." So we, as individuals, can literally deliver any evil, get rid of it, that is plaguing us. So if there's an evil spirit that's bothering you...
You feel like you're being spiritually attacked.
Yes, and see, this is where my background, because I was officially part of the exorcism ministry for the Archdiocese. I'm one of the few doctors in the whole nation that does this, or did this.
Wow.
So that's why I am bringing my expertise here.
Thank you.
That prayer, that Our Father prayer, can help you, heal you from whatever ails you. But you have to have the faith, the fervor, and devotion. So
correct.
It's like medicine. It's like medicine. If you have the faith that medicine will work, and if you have the fervor that you actually take the medicine, and you take it as directed, like every day for the rest of your life, you'll get better.
Yes.
That's how it is. So if you have the faith, fervor, and devotion.
Devotion.
Fervor and devotion, faith, fervor and devotion.
I wrote it all down, yes.
Yes. Do you have the physical, do you have the medical faith that the medicine's going to help you? Are you going to buy it and take it? And are you going to take it as directed? It's the same way with scripture. The scripture is like medicine. Do you believe this is God's word? Yes. Are you going to read it? Yes. Are you going to read it every day? Yes. Then it's going to work.
I read the Psalms. I like to read the Psalms.
My mom
gave me a book of Psalms, and I really have fallen in love with it.
Oh,
with the Psalms.
There's 150 of them, and that's how the rosary came to be, because the 150, believe it or not, they used to pray, memorize the 150, but that was kind of too long to pray. So they just shortened it to the Our Father and the Hail Mary. But that's how it all started.
That's so amazing.
Awesome. I'm so glad you called. You lifted up my day and all the listeners out there, and I'm so
thank
that
you.
You're thinking about becoming Catholic, because remember, that's the Catholic Church was founded by Jesus himself.
Yes.
That's the only church founded
by God. Oh, I believe
in
the Lord and Almighty Father God, yes.
Amen. Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the formula. That's why we're signed with that, right? We're not signed under the zodiac, like whatever, like this month would be Leo. No, we're signed under the cross of Christ. So if anybody says to you, what sign are you under? You're under the sign of the cross. You're not
a
Leo, you're not an Aquarius, you're not a Sagittarius. Your sign is the cross of Christ. That's your sign.
That's
Amen?
That's right. I've been studying on the Passion of Christ.
All right. Well, you're going the right way. You won't go
wrong.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. You've been so helpful. Thank you for answering all of my questions.
Sure. Well, I'll be on tomorrow as well, same time. And
okay. If I think of anything else, I'll call in.
Yes, and tell others. God bless you. Thank you for
calling. I will. God bless you. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Well, that was fantastic. It just really answered my prayers, because I know there are people out there listening, and, you know, when I'm broadcasting here and I go out in public, some people come up to me and thank me. And it's just nice to hear. You know, I'm not on YouTube, so I don't know how many people are listening to me or what they like or the comments. So I do it the old-fashioned way, and I just thank you. I'm out of time now, brothers and sisters, but I thank you, and I praise God for all you listening. God bless you. This is Dr. Anton signing off on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.
Thank you for being with us today. Join us next week for another episode of Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.